If board members can please take their seats.
No roll call.
No roll call. If any members of the public would like to go inform folks who are outside that we're starting again, that would be very helpful. We are going to proceed with the agenda. We still have 45 minutes out of our 60 minutes for election of LSD officers. We have completed one out of the four elections, so still on the table will be vice chair, secretary, and treasurer. 15 minutes for each. And we'll get started. Do we have, and so just to as a point of information, Aniel has left for his next commitment, and so the review of the interim budget as it was touched on will have to suffice for that agenda item for today. Do we have any nominations for vice chair? Seeing Ken and seeing Lawrence.
Michael Adler.
Yeah. You're recording? Thank you.
He accepted. Checked with him. Will he accept it?
He did.
Thank you. Are we able to get him on the phone to just confirm that? And then, Lawrence, did you have a nominee?
Yes. I nominate Paul.
I accept Paul Robeson.
Paul Robeson has accepted.
Go ahead, because that's what I was going to do.
Okay.
Thank you.
Fred? Get Michael on the phone.
Are there any other nominations for LSB vice chair? Seeing none, we can proceed with starting the vote, and we'll just make sure, Grace, can you confirm that Michael Adler will accept the nomination?
Oh, okay, let me check. I have to call him.
Jan, are you going to be handling telephonic voting for?
Yes, let me...
Telephone.
Are there further nominations, or is it just Paul?
It's Paul and Michael Adler.
Oh,
yeah.
For Mike.
Yeah. Do you have any nominations besides that? No. And will Michael Adler be available to make a short statement as well?
I'm trying to get him.
Okay. So I would like to stick to time, so we're going to call the beginning of this portion 1:25, and we'll allocate 15 minutes. So hopefully we'll be done with vice chair election by 1:40. If my math is ever wrong, feel free to correct me. Okay, in the meantime, I'm going to go ahead and count how many voters we have. Right, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17.
I've been nominated to be vice chair.
17.
Do you accept? Call him, let us know right away. I'll text you. I just got his machine, but I think that there was communication prior to this that he was interested in being vice chair and would accept the nomination.
I'm okay with taking your word for it. I just would like to get him on the phone or by text.
I'm trying.
Okay.
I just left him a message.
So we have 17 in-person votes. Do we have any electronic votes?
How many nominees are there?
Two.
Is the nomination process closed?
No.
Do you have a nominee?
Yeah, Beth.
Okay. Beth, do you accept?
Okay.
Okay.
Could I have Beth's last name, please?
Von Gunten. Small V-O-N, capital G-U-N-T-E-N.
Gunten?
Von Gunten. Swiss, not Dutch. Von Gunten, it's Swiss, not Dutch.
She said Swiss, not Dutch.
Swiss.
Not Dutch.
Right.
Did we lose someone over here?
Oh, yeah, the lady.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. We lost two people over here.
Well, can we get them?
Yeah, but we're starting voting. I don't know why people would leave.
Does anyone know where they are?
They're asking you to vote.
So we're missing some of the call-ins that we had before.
Oh,
okay.
Oscar.
Yeah, no, Oscar.
Oscar.
I don't know if all we left. Oh, that's his stuff. I think he's in the bathroom probably.
Oh, that's his.
All the stuff, the little donut thing.
None of his stuff is there.
That's mine. I brought those, so. It does. Yeah, it does look like his stuff is gone.
Barbara?
Yeah, she's
here. Ollie is not. Delia is.
Not in the restroom.
Okay, we're gonna proceed.
Eric is here.
So, one more count. Bella, please take your seat so I can count. One, two, three. Grace is gone now. One, two, three.
Right there.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. 18 ballots. Okay. Yes, please.
Jan, are you sure? Do the your yes, telephonic know the names of the nominees?
No, I'm just about to tell.
Grace, are you voting up Grace?
So the nominees.
Yeah, he's voting.
And again, as the ballots are being passed out, we can begin short statements by the nominees. So we have Paul and Michael, if he's available on the line, and Beth. So I'm going to pass the mic to Paul to, if we can just reduce the talking and just pass out the ballots. And Paul's going to make his statement as nominee for vice chair.
No, not me.
I won't use a microphone because I speak kind of loud. I am the current vice chair. I would like to continue in this position. If you vote for me, I appreciate your vote of confidence. I intend to be respectful and civil and help to maintain a positive and peaceful decorum, respecting all people and all ideals, and just helping to run, you know, the meetings in conformity with Robert's Rules of Order. So I appreciate your support in advance. Thank you.
Thank you. Is Michael Adler available to make a statement?
No, not yet.
I don't think so, no.
Beth, would you like to make a statement?
Just briefly.
You have a mic right there. Can someone, Jan, can you pass it to Eric?
Eric.
Hi, I'm Beth Von Gooden from Ojai. This is my first meeting as a board member, so I'm new to the organization. I've been attending as many other committee meetings and other KPFK gatherings as I can over the last 6 months or so. I have extensive board experience on other boards, including positions of officer, so the task seems doable to me. If I can be of service, I'd be happy to. I don't have any complaints about the current vice chair. So that's not the issue, but thank you.
Thank you. And do we have Michael Adler to make a statement?
No, he hasn't. I texted him and I've called him.
Well,
and
he ain't getting my vote.
Okay, so confirming that you have a verbal confirmation from him that he would accept the nomination.
Yeah.
Okay, so we can go ahead and vote. Listing either your only choice or putting your three choices in order.
I'll come to you last.
You give out the paper? Where's the paper?
Everybody should have gotten a ballot.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get a ballot, huh? You can give me a ballot. Thank you.
Good thing you canceled from the first one.
I'll
take Clint out for you, John.
Oh, yes.
What's her first name? That's
bad. Thank you.
I need to record the telephonic ballot.
We have one over here as well.
That would be Michael Adler, Jeanette Charles, and
I don't think Jeanette was ever on the phone.
Oh, I'm sorry. Michael Adler, Sandy Childs, and Mansoor.
Mm-hmm. You have Jan, you have Mansoor and Sandy?
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me see if they sent it in.
Michael Adler was calling in before, so like
Grace,
I don't
couldn't
know
reach him.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute, stop. Hold on, hold on. Okay, now you're on the air. Yeah. Send it to me on my cell phone.
Point of personal privilege.
Who's on the phone?
Okay, so
come on the door.
Hold on. Okay.
Okay, I got it. I got your saying. What's going to be weird is that some people are excused absences, but they also called in. So that's what's kind of throwing this whole thing off. Like these two called in, even though they were excused absences. So whatever. I'm not sucking you into it. I'm just saying it's weird.
It is a little weird. Five minutes left for vice chair.
So we don't have Michael. So I'll just go like this.
Do we have all the votes recorded? Does anyone have a ballot still? Does anybody have someone on the phone that has not been recorded? Okay, let's do the count.
Hey, Peter, I'm not going to count the total. I'm just going to lay them out by the number one selection. All right?
Well, first count the number of ballots so you get a threshold, election threshold.
Okay.
Okay.
Anyone would like to observe the count?
So we need, how many phone votes did we have?
Two.
So that is one ballot too many. There were 18 voters in person and two on the phone.
No, there were 19 in person.
My count and Janine say 18.
I have.
Remember, what's the name of that?
Ali Nexa was here, 19.
He did not vote for this.
Ali's not here.
So we had a request for a second ballot over here because one was misplaced or something.
No. I didn't get a ballot.
I think Ali voted.
No, Ali's not here. No, he didn't. He didn't vote before.
No, because he didn't know who the selections were.
No.
Ballot.
In any case, the election threshold is 11.
Okay.
That's the official group threshold is 11 to get to be elected.
So, 50% do you recommend that we vote or that we continue?
Well, Robert's rules say if there's any question about election, just redo it.
We do have too many ballots.
I mean, how can we deal with this?
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, well, let me see. 8, 9.
Yeah, separate them by badges.
Now we have 7.
Let him count them.
There's a blank ballot. There's
a blank ballot?
No, I'm just... Well, that's...
Okay.
Well, there is a blank ballot. Okay. I didn't know if I was going to have 2 or 3...
You have 20 ballots, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so did we turn one in for Jeanette?
No, because she's not voting.
Okay, did we turn one in for Sandy?
Yes.
Okay. And did we turn one in for... No,
so the threshold is still 11.
That's our 20.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, ready?
So, mm-hmm.
Paul. Michael Adler. Number one, Paul Roberson. Paul Roberson. Number one, Beth. Number one, Paul Roberson. Number one, Beth. Paul Roberson. Paul B. Paul. Paul R. One.
Okay, they got it right that time.
Michael. Paul Roberson. Paul Roberson. Number one, Beth. Paul Roberson. Number one, Paul Roberson. Paul. One, Paul Robertson. I'll interpret that as Paul Roberson.
Good job. Close. Good call.
Number one, name, question mark.
Excellent.
Number two, Michael Adler. Number three, Beth von Gutzen. So the number one, name, question mark. So I don't know how to interpret this ballot. I assume you wanted, I don't know what's your interpretation, that the third, you wanted the third person but couldn't remember the name, or?
I think you have to give it to Michael.
You have to go to Michael.
You have to go to the second one if it's.
Well, the first, number one is not blank, it says number one, name, question mark. So he couldn't remember the name of the person he wanted to vote for, but he knows that the other two were numbers two and three.
So who's number two?
I mean, how do you.
I guess it's up to the. That's for the.
What's the name on number two?
Michael Adler.
Number three?
Beth von
Gutzen. Okay, so we can we make a deduction that number one would be for?
I'm okay with the presumption that the person forgot their first choice's name. I recommend it in the future. Please just confirm that before you issue your vote.
So this will be included in the one name not included, which would be Paul Roberson. Is that the word
correct
on the board? Okay, so I didn't keep a tally while I was doing that. Would you like me to recount any of the stacks?
Just count the big stack.
Okay.
That's more than
one, two, three, four, five, six, seven,
8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15,
Madam Chair.
Okay, so excellent. So our new Vice Chair, Paul Roberson. Same as the old Vice Chair, Paul Roberson.
Oh, he was
there.
Okay.
Look forward to working with you. Likewise. Next is going to be the election for Secretary. And commending this group, we're only 1 minute over on the Vice Chair election. So do we have any nominations for Secretary? I saw Jan.
I'd like to nominate Michael Adler. Well, Michael, did you talk to Michael Adler about
it? He does not want to be Secretary.
Okay.
Okay.
I have something.
All right. Lauren?
I yield to Ken because Ken appointed. You want to nominate Janine?
Yeah, I agree. I nominate Julie.
Janine.
Whatever her name is. Recognized.
Okay, Ken and I, knowing that, like, being the secretary is a booby prize, it's very hard to get somebody willing to be the secretary because it's a hard job, you know, and Michael did it faithfully and very well. We tried to recruit somebody willing to be secretary out of the candidate pool, and Janine, and also as a backup, Robert Payne also is willing to help out.
Okay.
So that was but if there's another secretary willing to do it, please help. Feel free to nominate them. But we think Janine would do a great job.
Thank you. That's kind of an argument for candidate, but we'll move on. Bella?
I vote for Janine.
Okay. Do you accept the nomination?
I do.
Okay.
Good.
Any other nominations? Seeing we have two, we have one, multiple for Janine and one nomination for Michael Adler, which you're saying he will decline.
Right.
And he's still not on the phone?
No.
Okay. He's aware that we're still meeting, right?
Yeah. I would say I've had calls with him this week.
Point of information, he distributed an email to the whole LSB that he was resigning.
I did see that. Okay, so any other nominations for secretary?
Unanimous consent.
Seems like Janine is running uncontested,
unanimous.
So
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Accepting the booby trap.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, saving some time. Lovely. Moving on to the nominations for treasurer. I see Lawrence and I see Polina. Lawrence?
Yeah, I nominate Michael Novick.
Michael Novick. Is Michael Novick available to be confirmed?
No, he's been treasurer. He accepts.
Yeah, he would accept. He told me that he would accept. I've been trying to get him on the phone, but...
Okay, it's your word on the line. He accepts.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, he did.
Nomination, Polina?
Same nomination.
Jan?
I'd like to nominate Fred Blair. Would
I accept.
Alrighty. Any other nominations for treasurer? Seeing none, we will move to the vote. And again, let us pass out the ballots, and please do that quietly. I don't really see a reason for talking during that, so that we can listen to our two nominees make their cases for our votes. So, well, we're not going to hear from Michael Novick, right? Are we able to get him on the phone?
No, not today.
Okay.
If I can make a statement.
You want to make a statement on his behalf? Okay. Briefly, please go ahead, Lawrence.
Okay, thank you. So, Michael has been treasurer before for this board. He's very good at finances. He's very good at analyzing numbers. I'm not nominating him as a complaint or protest against Mr. Blair. I just want to make that clear. Thank you.
Mr. Blair?
One moment. I guess I have to record myself. I'm not much at making speeches, and basically I'm not 100% happy with the job I've done this last year, but it's basically you're asking somebody to do a hard job that's a lot of work, for no pay, and in many cases no appreciation. Frankly, when people start talking about finances, most of the audience's eyes glaze over, and it is a responsibility of the speaker to make things clear, but finances are not a fun area. They're obviously very important. So I'm willing to put another year of unpaid labor in and perform the duty of treasurer. The second duty of treasurer is to be a member of the Pacifica National Finance Committee, which is made up of 10 people. The CFO of the organization is also a member of the National Finance Committee. And there's two people from each of the stations, so the five treasurers from each of the five stations and five directors from each station area. So there's a fair amount of work being treasurer. There's a lot of responsibility. And I hope people have appreciated the work I've done. I haven't heard any negative feedback this last year, necessarily. I would like to hear criticism because I would like to improve. And I think I have improved to a certain extent. So I hope I'm soliciting your vote, and thank you. Okay. Bye.
Thank you. Okay.
Do you have
a point, Bella?
Well, Fred just said that he wanted to hear the thing is.
We're not going to hear the critiques of his performance
here. All right.
Here.
Okay. But thank you, Fred, for your work.
Thank you.
Oh, I did.
So we'll need to know whether Michael Adler is turning in a vote and whether Sandy is turning.
Jan,
in
do you have Sandy and Mansoor?
I have
Sandy's.
I'll
be right there.
Okay. Okay, but we don't have Mansoor or...
Jan will let us know if she has Mansoor.
Again, please.
Fred Blair and Michael Novick. That's Novick with an I.
Novick. Sorry.
I still don't know who.
Okay, I got mine.
I don't think Grace and Ken have gotten Michael Adler back on the line.
Okay, and then we've got and then we've got Mansoor.
That'll be with through Jan.
So we have, do we have a vote from both Sandy Childs and Mansoor?
Yes.
Okay.
So we count the ballots so we can have a threshold.
Again.
Two.
We have one more over here coming to you. For Ms. Hero.
So we have 20. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
So the special count, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19.
Yes, I know.
20.
Okay.
And I'll start laying them out by.
And the threshold for election again is 11.
Thank you.
It's 50% plus one.
Ready? F. F. Blair. Fred. Number one, Michael Novick. Fred Blair. Fred. Michael Novick. Fred. Fred Blair. Fred Blair. Michael Novick. Michael Novick. Fred B. Fred. Michael Novick. Number one, Michael Novick. Number one, Fred Blair. One, Fred. One, Fred Blair. Fred Blair. Michael N. Would you like me to recount out of any of the
stats?
Please.
We're missing.
Yes, please.
That was only 19.
Let's count both stacks.
Okay. Well, individually, correct?
Yes, please.
So I'm going to read the Fred Blair. I'm going to count the Fred Blair stack again. All right? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13.
Yeah.
The Michael Novick stack. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, Madam Chair.
Okay.
Thank you very much. That's 20. That is a legitimate vote. So
congratulations
to Fred Blair.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam.
So let me tell you, you're going to have to be bossy this time around, okay?
And after the meeting, he will accept your critiques and comments. Recognized?
I'd like to acknowledge John Gary's excellent work as a judge.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much, John. That was excellent and efficient. Also, I want to thank Bella for organizing some sustenance throughout this meeting. That was wonderful as well. Thank you, Bella. Okay, moving on with the agenda. At some point, we will, I imagine, have to add time, but as of now, we have 30 minutes allocated for the committee reports. I'm sure the body will appreciate expediency with the reports. And so we will start with governance. Ken Aaron, you have 5 minutes.
Nothing to report. You're a failure.
Okay.
Good report.
You could, yeah, if you wanted to.
No, we didn't have any agendas in the last meeting. No, no other decisions were made.
Actually, that was an awesome.
Okay, so finance report. Fred?
Yes. Can people hear my voice all right?
Yes.
I don't need the microphone. The Finance Committee last Wednesday, that's fine. The Finance Committee last Wednesday passed two motions that went to governance and then also come to this board. I want to read the first motion. The motivation is a little bit long on this, but whereas we all know that KPFK has been experiencing declining per day fund drive revenue, it has been a long-standing rule of thumb not to budget income unless the income has been proven to be successful in the past actuals. Therefore, we cannot project increased income from any source until it is tried and has proven to add to revenue. As it appears that our expenses exceed our revenue in FY 2019, we only broke even because of about $450,000 in one large bequest from Don Bastanti, plus a major donor gift of about $100,000. We must reduce our budget by $450,000 plus 10% of the total revenue from fiscal year 2019 to conform with NIDA. That's our financial organization that does our financials. For NIDA's projections that all of our stations will see a 10% shortfall this fiscal year due to the concerns that there will be a recession this year. Also, KPFK has experienced a 4% decrease in membership in the last year, which can only be used to predict further decline of at least 4%. Bequests and large donations are few and far between and cannot be put in the budget as there is no guarantee that they will materialize. This means we need to reduce our spending by about $700,000 in order to break even this year. We cannot continue to increase fund drive days. New methods of raising income may or may not pan out, so we cannot budget income based on untried sources. Thus, we must reduce expenses. I want to reread that last sentence. Thus, we must reduce expenses. Therefore, the KPFK Finance Committee requests a budget from the GM and business manager that significantly reduces expenses to be emailed to the LSB chair by Friday at the least and presented to our LSB this coming Sunday, December 15th, 2019. We cannot continue to operate without sound budgeting. Also, the LSB has been sent the most recent budget from the KPFK GM and business manager that the agenda for December 15th allocate 45 minutes for the LSB to view the budget and make, I'm sorry, this is the end of the document. One of the motions was a request to the GM to appear here this Sunday to give us a report on the budget for the coming year. I don't have any other printouts on the motion from the Finance Committee.
This is what you were struggling with.
30 seconds,
Fred.
Okay, I think somehow the words got garbled here. That the LSB be sent the most recent budget from the KPFK GM and business manager that significantly reduces expenses and that the agenda for December 15th, 2019 allocate 45 minutes for the LSB to review the budget and make, okay.
Okay. Thank you for that report.
abbreviated report.
So, did you have a point?
So no, now is the time for Q&I.
Okay.
After the report.
So, we can do...
What is the motion? Are we motivating the motion, or are we for and against?
To add Q&A?
No. You just read a motion, right? So...
You can so to allocate 45 minutes to
you
the...
You can do two for and two against.
Okay, so there's a motion to allocate an additional 45 minutes for this meeting to review the budget. Correct, Fred?
No. I think the basis of the motion was the KPFK Finance Committee requests a budget from the GM and business manager that significantly reduces expenses to be emailed to the LSB chair by this Friday and presented to the LSB this Sunday. So basically we were requesting that the GM produce a budget that is significantly reducing expenses. And, we don't have a budget at this point and it's still being worked on. We were given a draft budget, last Sunday. That I was emailed by the GM, and I distributed to the Finance Committee. That turned out that budget was so full of errors and other problems that we really couldn't review the budget. So we need to make sure that the general manager understands that there needs to be a budget produced that we can review in the next month or two that reduces expenses for the coming year, because all the projections are saying that income is going to go down. I emailed early this morning my treasurer's report where I gave a lot of numbers, and people may or may not have seen that. I don't have printouts, but I'll talk about it during my treasurer's report. Basically, all the financials are in a downward trajectory.
So, no, we need this right away.
So, the motion is to request a budget from the GM that reduces expenses by what date? So what is the amended date of the motion?
How about January?
The January meeting or January 1st?
Is there other suggestions?
By a week before the next Finance Committee meeting. So at least the Finance Committee can review it. How's that?
Okay.
What should be sent to the whole LSB?
I believe the Finance Committee is meeting on January 8th.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So shall we amend the motion to request an updated budget from the GM that reduces expenses by the end of the year?
No, excuse me. It has to have the same language that the motion is requesting. We're talking about $700,000. Not
if, not a nebulous amount. It has to be an
exact
amount. Only the date to be delivered.
I agree. By the next Finance Committee, which is the 8th. Right. Yeah. Right. By the end of the year. Second. Okay. That seems fine to me.
It's a request of the GM. It's a request. It's not an order. We're not his manager. So the motion is to request an updated budget from the GM that reduces expenses. The budget is requested to be produced by the end of this year in order to be reviewed by the Finance Committee on the 8th of January. We have a motion and a second. Are there any objections?
Yeah.
Objection?
Yeah. Can I verbalize it?
Yes, please.
So I think, look, we got the holidays coming up, right? Mm-hmm. And I know what my calendar looks like. But I agree
isn't
we should do it before
said?
The 8th. So I think maybe
figure
people are going to be busy from 23, 22 to 2nd. I think one day before the budget committee on the 7th will not put people in jeopardy.
So it's an amendment to the amended motion.
Yes.
But to be January 7th.
To be January 7th. Do we have a second for January 7th? Second for January 7th. Any objections to January 7th?
Objection.
Okay, Bella. Oh, you know what, Alan had his hand up first. I apologize. Alan?
Yes. The staff has produced several trial budgets, rough drafts. From those, I have put together a budget which meets all of Grace's criteria. It reduces expenses. It leaves a profit big enough to pay our share of the big $3 million debt we've got to pay off. It meets all the criteria that were desired, and I have it right now, and I can offer it for the committee to take as a budget to study, if you want to study a budget, because it does all the things that were asked.
It's would the process be to submit that to Aniel and have him adjust it as he sees fit? And
no,
submit?
That cannot be done. It did not come out of the finance committee, and it has to be done by the general manager in consultation with the business manager, not a board member submitting a budget. And he was explained that at our recent finance committee.
Well, can he submit it to the finance committee?
It has to be adopted. If it's adopted, then it can be submitted to the general manager.
Alan can have whatever conversations he would like with committee members and with the GM. But at the end of the day, the budget does have to come from the GM.
That's right.
Bella, did you have something before we move forward?
One time I agree with Bella. So I want to say that is not the reason why $700,000 is now being asked to be skimmed off from all expenses is because I've been screaming for a very long time before I entered this body, was voted into this body, that our salaries are killing us. The salaries have been bloated. Just in the salaries over.
Okay, but we don't have a budget to debate right now. So
right, but that is the reason. So when Alan B. says it's what Grace wants, it's not what Grace wants, it's what the Finance Committee wants as a body.
Thank you, Bella. Last thing, and then we're going to vote on the motion of January 7th.
Thank you. So I just want to make sure that the process is followed as outlined in the bylaws, that the GM submits a budget to the LSB, to the Finance Committee, and the Finance Committee comes back with that, preliminary budget, and we vote it up and down.
Right.
I don't care about all of this other rigmarole. That's the process that I want followed.
Thank you.
So we have to close comments because we have to move on.
I have an amendment.
You have an amendment.
Okay, it's a very small amendment. I made a mistake. I originally wrote this motion. The membership of KPFK declined by 8% between the 2018 and 2019 election. We know that because of the membership list sent to the National Election Supervisor. That shows, in that motion it says 4%, but it should be 8%. Is that correct? It says
4%.
It should be 8%. I'd like to just make that small adjustment.
Okay.
The motion
on the floor is to request from the GM an updated budget that reduces expenses by January 7th, in order for the Finance Committee to review it on January 8th.
So the her correction of 8%.
It's not relevant to the phrasing of the question. So raise your hand for a yes vote to go ahead and make that request to the GM.
It's just a thing.
So raising your hand for a yes vote to make the request of the GM.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Is anybody on the phone? Is there a vote on the phone?
Anyone? We heard from Alan on this already. A no vote to not make that request of the GM? 1. Any abstentions?
Yes.
2. Motion passes. Okay, so moving on to the Personnel Committee, Mansoor is not present. Jan left, and she was our liaison to Mansoor. Is there anybody here from the Personnel Committee that would like to make a report?
I'm on the Personnel Committee, but I was, I think I was in New York, and my sister, anyway. I had personal tragedy in my family, so I wasn't able to be on that call.
Sorry for your tragedy, Lawrence. Thank you for the update. Is there anybody here?
I do.
Are you on the personnel committee?
I was on the phone at the last meeting, by telephonically. And Michael, I want to express what Michael Novick conferred to me, is that because Mansour Sabah had been busy with most recent fund drives, that the committee has not been able to, and he was supposed to be the chair. So the report is no report. It will be picked up again next month.
Okay. I was on the personnel that committee. The issue was the evaluation piece we were talking about.
The surveys.
Didn't get approved.
By NITA.
Yeah, so that was the stop.
Human resources.
Yeah.
Pacifica Human Resources.
Okay, so.
So we're in process, but there's nothing.
Okay.
Conclusion.
Thank you very much, Personnel Committee. We'll go to the Town Hall Task Force. Bella, can you give us an update, please?
Sure. Sorry that some of you did not make it to the Town Hall event. It was great. I wish that more of you would have been there, but a good number of you did, about 15, and that's a pretty sizable number from the board. I wanted to express how tiring and tasking it was, especially for me, because it took 4 months from inception date, which was from July, when we decided to hold a town hall. And the reason being is that we never received appropriate funding. So at some point, we decided that it was too critical to lose the opportunity of having the town hall this year, celebrating 60 years, pinnacle of KPFK on the air. And so we managed to do it through the help of several people, Janine Ron, one of them. We received the necessary funds to rent the hall. And it was not easy, but we did it. In the meantime, we were over budget by $1,160. And I put myself in the red house because of that. But we had a good time. People were heard. What I want to express to Alan Beek, I want to thank him very much for pushing us to have a little card that people read, and they were posted all around. And many heeded the argument that they needed to put their name in there, but many of them didn't. There were 15 questions and comments. If I would have had the time, it would have been ideal when the GM was here so he could hear them. And they're very distant from what he continuously talks about. Very concerning, people very concerned from finances, programming, and why is it that the call-in programs were taken off the air over 11 years? And that was the way that people would communicate with one another. They want to see that return. In the meantime, I want to thank all the volunteers. Michelle, you were a volunteer, very a strategic. Paul Robertson, Janine, Ron, Paulina, and Fernando Velasquez helped with the translation of on-air Spanish programming promotion. We did, Ali Lexa finally helped us. Dr. Haley. And Ali Lexa finally put it all on the web page, and so forth and so on. My complaint is that we should have been sending this to the email blast much earlier, and it was not done until very late. And I had to keep pressuring the GM to do that. I'm sad that the GM was not there, the program director, Mr. Fleming, was there, Gavin. He was in the hot seat because people kept asking him, how are you electing these programmers? Who's giving them the green light? And he simply said, I do not control content. And that was the end of that. So we know who is in control. So a lot is going on here, and shamefully, these questions, I'm going to send them to every single LSB member so you know, and I have the cards. And then when everybody has seen them and commented on them, I will then send them to the general manager. This is public information, and we need to be aware of where the listening audience is. And they came and they spoke. Very important. So I wanted to thank you all for your support. It was very tasking, but the next one, somebody else will do it. I won't.
thank
but
you.
I'll be a consultant if you need me. But anyway, I want to thank you very much, and we still owe Janine Ron $200, and unfortunately.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Do you have a feedback question?
Question, yeah. I was there for part of the time. All seemed very strange.
I cannot hear you.
Start the time again, please. I was there for part of the time, and a lot of the volunteers and the activities seemed very organized and appreciated. My question to you is, one, how many people were there, and what was the cost of KPFK to pay per each person? Because I figured it was about, we were giving about $10 per person. We weren't making money. We were paying, in essence, paying people to be there. $10 okay. per. And next time, next year, I highly suggest, since one of the biggest expenses is the home, there are public parks that are free. There are public venues that are free. We should utilize them and save the dollars to go to KPFK's debt.
May I respond? We received a total of $600 from this board.
No, that's not the question. That's not the question.
She was asking the per person cost. Do you know how many?
In other words, the amount of money you spent, which I don't have a total figure, you said you still owe money, and then somebody gave money over and above KPFK board.
Yeah.
And considering the number of people there, I averaged it out that we were paying about $10 per person to be there.
Okay. This was an outreach event. That's what a town hall is. And if you read it in the bylaws, that's what the town hall is.
Okay.
It's not to ask for admission. Donations, of course, are always welcome. This is outreach, and the fact that the station has had no means for communicating with the listeners whatsoever, nor on air, because that segment was taken off
okay.
the air, nor
let's wrap this up,
any programming.
Thank you.
So therefore, I agree in theory what you're saying, if it were applicable. It is not.
Okay, we're not doing a back and forth, so the question has been asked and answered. Lawrence, and then we'll move on.
Okay, so it's not that we were trying to buy people's votes or bring people per person, spending a certain amount per person.
We had 150
This is, excuse me, this is in the bylaws, okay? And the bylaws say, actually, the people that came there were giving us money back, where they had invested in the structure, in being members, so we were actually giving them, taking from them that they came. It wasn't that, you know, that this was a political thing and people were being paid per vote or you invest certain money per vote. That wasn't what this was about. This is a town hall that mandated by the bylaws that happened twice a year, and it's in order for us to communicate and to listen. To our stakeholders, the
right.
people that pay the bills. Okay? That's what that's about. It's not about $10 a person or anything like that. That's ridiculous.
Thank you, Lawrence. One more, and then we'll move on.
I just want to say that I don't really see the discrepancy between the two points. I think the gentle lady's comments were just not to question the outreach, but just to question whether or not we could do it more efficiently. And that's just
correct.
A legitimate question. Can we do it more efficiently?
Thank
that's
you. Right. Recommendation that anyone with those kinds of opinions join the committees that
Thank
are
you.
Making those decisions.
Thank you.
We're going to move on to the outreach committee, which is also Bella. And Bella, can you please include in your report how the incoming emails are being handled?
Incoming emails?
Right, for the LS board?
No, I am not in any position accessing that at all. I'm glad that you brought that out because
okay.
Alan Beek, I need to speak to him to see how we can look into that. So far, I documented all the lists that we that came in through close to 150 people, and I documented, made the list of all the questions
and
comments.
Can you use the microphone? Thank you.
Yeah, so far I have about six lists that I compiled to make sure that everyone was accounted for. And also we had three organizations that tabled that day. About close to 150 people came in. Not everybody signed in. So I documented close to 135 signed on, but other people did come in that were not able to, that did not sign up. So regarding the KPFK LSB KPFK email, that will be the next project, and I need to talk to Alan Beek so we can coordinate for that. But firstly, the first thing I'm going to do, wanted to announce the 15 questions, comments from everyone, and then everyone is going to also get the spreadsheet. And it's already submitted with all the receipts to the business manager last week.
Okay,
the outreach committee, we meet the last Sunday of every month. It is automatically posted at kpftx.org and also at kpfk.org. It is on every last Sunday of the month. So far, that seems to have been working. It starts at 11:30. It's a casual meeting. You bring your ideas. It's all fun because it's about outreaching and coming up with ideas to better spread the word of KPFK out in the community. We are going to be looking at a documentary film that we may be showing at the Echo Park Church, Echo Park Film Center. Next month, so that will be something to be proposed and look into. But if you have an idea for outreaching, something that is doable and either singularly or collectively, come on down, meet with us. It's kind of potluck, 11:30 a.m. People get hungry around noon. So we have fun, and we talk and exchange ideas to better get the word out about KPFK. So we hope to see you then. And also there's a vigil every Friday between 5 and 6 p.m. at the corners of Echo Park Boulevard and Sunset. And that starts at 5 o'clock. People bring banners, make noises about peace and KPFK. See you.
Thank you.
11:30 a.m. upstairs, second floor.
Questions and feedback for outreach, Polina?
thanks, Bella. I think the effort to put on this town hall was very important, and we should try in the future to do it twice a year as the bylaws mandate. As far as budgets go, I agree that if you have suggestions, you should be part of the committee. I didn't have any suggestions. Very quickly, my questions are actually about the email that listeners can use to get in touch with the board. There is a public email already available, right? It's lsboard@kpfk.org. Is it okay then to answer, because listeners get in touch with me asking what's, does the local station board have an email? So that email is okay to share, correct?
Yes. That email is active, however, we need to organize the management of the incoming emails.
Exactly.
And responses, right?
And responses.
Oh, right. Okay. It can be done only by LSB members.
My other question is about the committee of inclusion that we were supposed to have. I don't know if it's been convened. I know it's off topic, but it's under local advisory committee reports. It's not on the agenda, but I'm wondering if that will be okay to find out what's going on with that.
Is there currently a committee of inclusion?
No. Lawrence can talk about that.
I'll talk about it in the director's report.
Oh, great. Thanks.
Okay.
Can I make a suggestion? It's not related to this, but it's related to the agenda.
We already closed the changes to the agenda, but do you have...
Yes, since our next thing is public comment, but we haven't heard director's reports. We've been here for quite a while. I only have about 20 minutes before I have to go. And I'm wondering if people would mind hearing the director's reports. before public comment.
Second the motion.
I second.
Any objections?
Yeah, but you need to find out about the listeners.
Bella, do you have an objection to moving the director's reports to next in the agenda?
Well, I don't know. I'd like to gauge how the audience feels about that.
Yep.
Okay.
There's going to be another option for them to
They're number 10.
It's been a long meeting for everyone, including the public. However, seeing no objections, we can go ahead and move the director's reports to right now, and then we will do public comment and the treasurer report, and then if there's still public comment needing to be done, we'll do the third public comment.
Thank you.
With the treasurer.
16.
Yes, we already reported.
Typo. Yeah.
No. So director's reports now?
Yeah, he already reported.
So director's reports.
Eric. Point of information.
Yes.
Order. I noticed in the finance report that Don Bustani, the late Don Bustani, gave $450,000 to the state.
$350,000.
I moved that at the end of our proceedings today, we adjourn in honor of Don Bustani, I'm just taken aback by the size of his generosity. It doesn't surprise me. I just love the man, and I would like to honor him by adjourning in his honor at the end of our proceedings.
Second. Any objections? Okay, it is so moved. Can you write down that person's name for me?
Bustani.
Okay, so let us do the director's report.
B-U.
Okay, you want me first? Okay.
Go ahead.
All right, so a lot of you are new. To be brief, the foundation is... I'll give you the bad news, the good news first, so you can put the bad news in perspective.
Bad news first.
Go on. Okay, so the good news is that the Pacifica Foundation has net assets of about $140 million. Now, that's not going to show up in any audit because our signals are very valuable, but they don't. They're owned actually by the FCC, so they don't turn up in our audit. But, for instance, the New York station, which is the most valuable, is worth about $40 to $45 million alone. So our buildings are worth about $11 million total. Appraisals were done a few years ago. So our net assets are around between $100 and $140 million. Our total debt is about $5 million. Of that debt, $3.1 million is a loan that we had to get to prevent bankruptcy, basically, from a debt we had. So the bad news is that our cash flow is pretty poor. We have declining revenue at just about all of our stations. And we're going to have to do some significant belt tightening if we want to stay out of bankruptcy, because if we can't make payroll at one or more of our stations, then there's no money at the other stations or the national office to meet those payrolls. We're going to be in a very bad situation because there, I believe, is a bankruptcy clause in the loan of $3.1 million that would immediately mean foreclosure on one or more of our buildings so that if we go into bankruptcy. So we would lose our buildings if we don't. That's why Fred and I know from the national office, from the national level finances, what serious straits we're in, and Fred knows on the local level we need to really be very strict about decreasing expenses if needed and increasing revenue. That's really important right now. There's been instability on the national level for many reasons in terms of the executive director. We now have the fourth, I think, executive director for the year.
Interim.
Well, we had a permanent one, but right. So we have an interim. Lydia Brisson, who was the executive director, she's from this station, she lives nearby, and she was the executive director before and the chair of the board. She's now the interim executive director. She's not taking any salary, and there's also a transition team that's working with her, composed of the three officers of the board, Alex Steinberg from WVAI,
Dwayne Lark from KPFT in Houston, and myself. I'm the secretary of the National Board. So we're working with and in conjunction with Lydia. And there is an ongoing search for permanent executive director that's already begun, and we will be reviewing the candidates soon. New board members across the network will be seated in January, late January. There are two main issues. The New York station was shut down by basically what I consider a rogue a group of people who went into the station without National Board approval. I did not know about it before the station was shut down, and most of the board were not told that there was a plan to shut down the station. It's a very severe action. The staff were fired on in the middle of the night of October 7th, and the board found out about it along with the rest of the staff and public. This has caused even more financial trauma to the network. There's also a bylaws amendment petition that the bylaws, it looks very attractive on the face of it. This is my opinion personally. What it would do is it would reduce the quorum for a listener vote to sell any of our assets from 10%. The current bylaws make the threshold 10%. This would reduce it to 5%, making it much easier to sell a signal or to sell a building. It also would put in charge six complete strangers, or to most of us, complete strangers, as in an appointed board, and then in 3 to 5 months, I estimate, another election would be held to have one representative from each local station board on this new board. It would eliminate all these local station boards, and it would eliminate the national board as we know it. I think it's a very dangerous petition, bylaws amendment. But there was a court in Northern California that's forcing the foundation to move forward with this bylaws amendment procedure. Let's see. I think that's about it. We're doing our best on the national level. There is some incorrect information floating around, financial information that we're trying to get rectified. So that's very troubling, because you can't make budgets if you don't have correct, and you can't have a good analysis if the financial information is flawed. And the flaws have been, you know, not like minor flaws. We're talking about, I found myself, along with some other board members, over $350,000 in extra expenses that didn't belong there in the 2019 expenses for WBAI. Kind of exaggerating, there is a shortfall at WBAI, but this has been really exaggerated by adding in incorrect expenses that shouldn't have been in there. So we're trying to straighten out the financial information to get it in line. You can't have information that's hundreds of thousands of dollars off the beam for one radio station and expect to move forward rationally. So that's about all I have to say.
Thank you.
We'll move to the other director's report, and then we'll do the Q&A.
Okay.
Thank you. So I was the interim executive director for, I don't know, 3 weeks. It's quite a challenge. And things on the national level are quite a challenge. The finances are not well. We have a lot of work to do as board members to try to bring in money, revenue, and reduce expenses any way we can. This loan that collateral our building, the KPFK building and the other properties, just the properties alone are worth more than $9 million. And we only got $3.2 million loan for collateraling that much collateral. So I'm very concerned about that. In regards to the bylaws amendments, the proposed bylaws amendments, it doesn't look like it's going to reach, the signatures that have been verified so far has not reached the threshold that they need in order for a bylaws vote to happen. So those signatories, a lot of them were not members. More than half of the people that signed that petition were not Pacifica Radio members. So that's a good thing. And then, if you remember when they filed a complaint in Alameda County Supreme Court, they filed a petition, and that's where the petition stops. You can't add any more signatories to that petition once it's been filed in court. Now, I'm a jailhouse lawyer. I'm just thinking, as a jailhouse lawyer, a jailhouse lawyer that spent a lot of time in jail, in the law library. So that's why they call them jailhouse lawyers, and they read a lot. Not that I'm a jailhouse lawyer, and I've never been in a jailhouse. But so that's good news, that, the structure as we know it, and the listeners and our stakeholders will not be disenfranchised, which is, I think, the most important thing about these proposed bylaws, is that our people will be disenfranchised. They will not have much of a say. If you reduce the threshold of anything, then assets will become easier to sell, because the verification in order to sell assets has to go in front of the membership. And right now, the membership stands at 10% in order to sell anything. And getting to that point, in terms of setting up the vote and verifying, the voting list and all that, that's expensive. And then sending out ballots for the election. Then having to state those bylaw amendments on the radio stations for 90 days, three times a day. That's a whole nother expense, and that also cuts into programming, live programming, right? So there's a lot of stuff that it's been very challenging. I think it's been very rewarding for me to work with Grace, who at one point we didn't work at all together. I felt like I was holding Grace accountable. I'm sure she felt I was a little too forthright. But it's been a pleasure to, work across lines and work for a common goal, which is Pacifica. And so it's been good doing that and working with others throughout the network that politically we didn't have nothing in common. We were really at odds. So it's been really good, and I hope that kind of unity and solidarity and coalition building continues, because I think that behooves us in terms of moving this network forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other directors present? No? Okay, so 10 minutes of Q&A for Grace and Lawrence, Bella, and then Paulina. And then, Jim.
Do I go first?
Go ahead.
Okay. Lawrence, thank you.
90 seconds, Bella, please.
Uh-huh. Thank you both, Grace and Lawrence. Grace, the loans. Who actually authorized those loans? I have
two questions. The National Board.
The National Board. Under whose tutelage? You were executive director then, yes?
No.
I mean, now you were chair of the National Board.
No, I wasn't.
You were not.
Nancy Sorden, I believe, was the chair.
Who was it?
Nancy Sorden.
Okay, and she's no longer around.
No, she's on the National Board.
PFW.
She's PFW. It's very sad that we lost the vote to recall Mansoor Sabah and John Goodman just this last month. We should have, in any event, this stuff goes on every day under our noses, and I'm having a very difficult time coming to the Finance Committee meetings and finding out that there's little we can do, number one, to get the right information that we need, the proper reporting that we need, and then we have to deal with the National Financial Committee that is not giving us what we need. And then on top of that, we have exported all our financial matter, just about. to an organization called NETA, which is miles and miles away, farther east, and has caused us more anguish and more dilemma financially. So, Grace, if you can address that, I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Was there a question in there?
Yes.
What was the question?
Just with brevity, just repeat the question.
Okay, why has nothing happened to this person that authorized the signatures of this loan, right? This huge loan, which has placed our buildings in collateral as collateral. And why did we make the decision to export our financial matter to NETA?
Thank you.
Okay. So those are two separate questions.
Okay, I'll answer the first question. We had a summary judgment against the foundation of $1.8 million because we hadn't been able to pay. We were in arrears on payment of rent, or license fees actually, to the Empire State Building, or the Empire State Realty Trust actually. By the time we got to, there was an effort to push us into bankruptcy. The contract we had for the tower rent, it's hard to explain this. The New York station has to be have its antenna at the highest point in New York City in order to be heard. So that's the Empire State Building. After the Twin Towers were destroyed, there was a monopoly. The Empire State Building had a monopoly on where you could put your transmission towers. So there was a 15-year contract with the Empire State Building and then later the Empire State Realty Trust, and with an escalation clause in the rent or the license fees. And at the point that we were almost in bankruptcy, the rent was about $60,000 per month. So we ran up a bill of $3.7 million. That was the bill. Now, in the contract, the Empire State Realty Trust had the right to charge us 9% interest on all that money we owed them, plus penalties and all kinds of other things, bringing the potential of our liability to them to 51% a year. We calculated an unbelievable amount. So, you know, when you're negotiating, we negotiated a loan and a settlement, a miraculous settlement with the Empire State Realty Trust. They settled for $3.7 million, but they let us out of the rest of the contract because we would have had to pay the next 2-3 years on that contract. So that could have run up to $10 million if we had forced ourselves into bankruptcy or even more.
Okay, great.
So
time.
I'm sorry. So we negotiated a loan at 7.5% to 8%, which is a lot less than was in the contract. That we already had a loan essentially with the Empire State Realty Trust at somewhere between 9% and 51%.
Okay,
that's it.
Thank you.
Second part that was not addressed.
Well, time's up.
Yeah. The time is up. Lawrence, did you want to?
No.
Okay, we're gonna move on and. I'm hoping that we're not going to have to extend the time, but we may have to extend past 3 o'clock. So 90 seconds for your question for the directors.
To both directors, can we modify the loan agreement terms such as, for instance, get rid of the fact that the lender must give us permission in order to refinance? The next question would be, so are the loan agreement terms modifiable in your opinion as directors? Second question is, isn't it true that as far as the bylaws are concerned, these the proposed amendments are rather are not amendments but rather substantially different bylaws altogether? And finally, isn't it also true that staff, volunteer staff especially, who produce 80% of programming on our airwaves are also being completely disenfranchised, as they will have not have a vote if these bylaws, if that gets passed?
Okay, I'll work backwards. First of all,
Let's do 1 minute and 1 minute for response.
Go ahead. I can't. When there are complicated issues, I just can't simply, you know, just make an answer. So
I understand.
Okay.
So then
let Lawrence respond. Okay. I mean, either I can answer the question.
Give
questions.
Me the time to answer.
I would negotiate for more time. I think this is important.
I don't think it's proper to ask anybody on this committee questions that they have no ability to answer. Like, is God still alive?
Can you get this
senator to change his vote? So to ask whether or not the loan terms can be negotiated is out of scope for the people on this board.
Okay. So the loan
terms can be negotiated. That's number one. Okay. Well, I was working backwards. Okay. In the bylaws amendment petition process, there will be, if it moves forward, there'll be two separate votes for each station, the membership vote and the staff vote. Both of those will count. There won't just be one election. There'll be two elections per station, 10 elections altogether, okay? And it'll cost a lot of money that we don't have.
Thank you.
Yeah, but there'll be no staff members.
John Gary, how you doing? In terms of the bylaws question, let me work backwards too. I think everything has to be on the table. Remodification, if it's possible, refinancing. It all depends also on our financial situation. So in regards to, I'll have to get back to you whether the volunteer staff, or when you say staff, Grace, does that mean the volunteer staff as well? Because there's two classes of...
It's just like the LSV election. Whoever got ballots in the LSV election will get ballots in this election.
Okay. So that's the
answer. I'm sorry. Just to clarify, my question was not about whether staff would be actually voting themselves out, disenfranchising themselves if they were... That's what I was asking. If those staff members who would vote for these bylaws amendments, would they be essentially disenfranchising themselves in the future?
Yes.
That's what I was asking.
I think my two cents is that everybody that votes in favor of these bylaws will be disenfranchising the whole structure as we know it.
Exactly.
So that's just
you.
An opinion.
That's all it is.
Thank you. Thank you for those responses, directors. Did you have something for the directors?
Yeah, well, quick question. I read somewhere that, I believe it was in Changelings, they wrote a little article about the situation overall. They said there's a court hearing on December 20th whereby this might be a non-starter after all?
No.
No chance for
you
that?
You want to take that, Grace?
No. We consulted with two attorneys. One, because the second one was Jim Osborne, who I gave. It was Pacifica decided it didn't make sense to appeal. The court date is only if we cannot show cause that we're following the judge's court order. We are following the judge's court order because we've decided not to appeal. Now, something comes up, so for instance, we're verifying the signatures in the petition. If there are not ample signatures to validate that petition, we will go to court on the 20th. That's been arranged, basically. But if not, we may not go to court on the 20th. It depends.
You have the resources to verify the signatures?
Yes.
A national election supervisor has already been hired to do that.
Yes, we send out a RFP, you know, for a national election supervisor, and Renee Pinanosa agreed to do it, and she's been pretty diligent about, although I have my criticisms about the way she ran the election, but she's been pretty diligent about verifying the signatures and sequence sending out reports, and as of yet, it looks like it's not going to qualify. So.
Okay. Are there any more questions for the directors?
Yeah, I had one quick question.
Okay, briefly, go ahead. 90 seconds.
It won't take that long.
Wonderful.
Grace, this is a very complex subject, so I just want a very brief answer. You indicated that, you know, there were significant assets overall nationwide, transmitters, property, things like that.
Yes.
Has National Board
gotten professional advice, financial advice, or banking advice about any time, any formal line of credit that could be given to the National Board?
Because of the fact that we're backlogged on our audits, and because our financial, our cash flow situation is pretty dire, we're not eligible for any type of regular loan or bank, anything. The only thing we can hope for is collateralized hard money loans, subprime loans, on our assets. And the signals are cannot be used as collateral. So only the buildings. That's the only assets that we can use as collateral.
Thank you.
Okay. So we're only going to do one question per person per section.
Okay.
So thank you, Bella, for understanding. And so there was some confusion. I know we did the finance report, but have we done the treasurer's report?
No.
Okay, so then I'm going to make a motion to extend this meeting by 10 minutes. Minutes.
Madam Chair, mm-hmm. I have to leave.
Okay, so we have yet to cover the final public comment. We actually have two, but I don't know that we need both. And we have to do the treasurer's report, which is 10-minute report and 10-minute Q&A. So we are 20 minutes over. Unless we want to strike something from the agenda, we'll have to have a motion to
second
extend by 20 minutes.
I just wanted to point of information.
Okay.
The treasurer's report should be fairly short, and we should not be taking 10 minutes for Q&A of the treasurer's. He's just going to recap what he has done.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion to extend this meeting till 3:20 with the understanding we may adjourn sooner.
It's been seconded.
Seconded. Any objections?
The room's available?
No, we have an objection.
Do we know?
Objection.
Do you have an objection?
I would make a...
Do we have to leave?
Like he said,
we're not going to be kicked out.
That we adjourn the meeting after public comment.
Point of information, we got the next group here. They're needing the room at 3.
Oh, that's
awesome. I'd like to make a motion that we postpone the treasurer's report and bring it up at the end of January meeting.
Do we have a second
amendment to your
public comment?
If that is seconded without objection, I will withdraw the amendment regarding extending the meeting.
Can I motivate that? And the reason being is that we should be getting.
I think we're past.
I'll second the motion.
We should be getting our budget also from the.
Okay.
General.
So no objection to moving the treasurer's report to January, correct?
Correct.
Yes. Thank you. So as of now, we will do 10 minutes public comment, and then we will adjourn.
Ms. Chair, can I make one comment before the public comment?
Yes, please.
I did send out an electronic version of my treasurer's report. There's lots of numbers. Did you get it? Okay, well, look in your email box. I want to urge people to read it over. It's very dense with information on the financial decline of the station. And I have two charts in the fund drive that are very important. And I so I want people to look that over, even though I'm not talking about it.
I didn't get it either. You'll need to get added to the list. So when things go out to LSB,
I'll send it to you personally.
Okay. So
I'll get your email address.
90 seconds per public comment. Proceed.
Well, relative to the fact that you may eliminate the second one, I'm going to take a little longer.
No, we're going to do 90 seconds because we need to vacate.
You're required to have a half an hour of public
and
comment.
That is correct.
It's in the bylaws. So let me talk for a couple of minutes. And
can you complete your comments in 2 minutes?
We'll see. I have a lot to say. And I'm going to start with Fred's report, which is problematic, Fred. You're missing some important numbers in this report. Okay? It just doesn't make sense. But that's not new, because in 4 years, there's never been a treasurer's report with good numbers. Not once in 4 years, okay? But let me point out something. It's funny how everybody's become an expert on WBAI's finances. The KPFK, not so much. So here we have from last year's fund drive, which he put down here. the total, and Zuberi also said his number was 2.4, but for last year the pledge amount was $2.5 million. Okay, that's just the pledge amount. You get, we don't know because we haven't gotten that real fulfillment number in a couple of years. Used to be 85, maybe it's 90 now, maybe it's 95, more likely 90. So maybe 2.5 is what we actually got last year. You look in Fred's report and from NIDA, they're both claiming that we got $2.9 million in listener support. So you're wondering about, you know, missing money from WBAI. That's what, $700,000? Okay, I brought this up at the last finance meeting and nobody wanted to talk about it. And that's just the first line item on the finances for KPFK and on the budget. There are severe problems. In 4 years, they have not once reviewed a financial document, and every time I bring it up, they do not want to talk about it. They want to talk about programming. We heard about, you know, all the new software he's going to get, and, you know, I mean, even in the motion that you just approved to get the budget, which you said, oh, we can get the day before the finance meeting. Some people like me, I actually look at it.
Right.
It takes more than just a day to look at it because I take out other documents. Hopefully we'll have some P&Ls, even if they're all bad. I sort of have been doing this long enough, I can kind of figure out which is a better number. So even getting it a day before isn't that helpful, but thanks anyways. It's good to get a couple of days. But it said in there that we broke even last year. We didn't break even. KPFK did not break even. Grace didn't even read what Fred just put out. As for the loan, the point of that is it's secret. It's a big secret. So anything Grace says, nobody has no idea if that's true or not. Nobody has no idea. I know Grace says we got such a great deal with Empire State, but I know other people who have seen that same agreement who say, no, it wasn't a great deal. So that's the problem with secrecy. We just never know.
Are you able to wrap your comment?
Let's see my notes. What else we got?
We do need to vacate in 4 minutes.
Okay, well, you know.
We have two additional public comments.
Three
public comments.
Three public comments, yeah.
I want to make one point about what Zuberi said about community events revenue going up. It has gone up, but the expenses have gone up dramatically, and it's a total net loss for the community events. These are the kinds of things you saw there, but you have no idea if they're actual facts. So I'm hoping some of the new people will come to the finance meeting because we need real help.
Thank you. We encourage all the new people to join committees.
Just to clarify, Kim, you were referring to the gala as an example, not the small community.
Next comment,
I'm talking about the whole net revenue and net expenses.
Go ahead, John. Thank you. Sorry.
John, KPFK listener sponsor. I'd like to thank Abella for her work and everyone else's work on the town hall.
And the food tonight.
Yes, thank you. People should review the proposed bylaws. And as I recall, the new Pacifica National Board would not have any staff members. Staff members would not be in. So, but I've seen kind of a few different proposals over the last few months. They may want to check it and take that into consideration. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you. Thank you for your brevity.
Lydia Ponce. With so much going on in the world and where we are, it's just not transparent all the paperwork, and I applaud you for trying to get through it in the limited time. I'm going to offer this, that powers that be, I would really like to support the news part of the hour and all the days that make up the week over the month, because we have things happening all over the world, and we're not an island, and we're connected. When something happens in Bolivia, it affects us here.
Right.
And something happens in the Philippines, the earthquake, it affects us here. And we should think about the scope of how we can protect the communications at least for 5 minutes at the top of the hour, the bottom of the hour, and these kinds of reports in different languages. Thank you.
Thank you, Lydia. Final public comment, and then
I would like to thank Grace Aaron for what I hear that must represent hundreds and hundreds of hours of reading, study, and telephone calls. She presented a very, very coherent narrative, and I'm sure that she could talk for an hour to attempt to explain the problems that she is confronting. Again, thank you very much, Mrs. Aaron.
Thank you very much. I'd like to once again welcome all the new board members. I'd like to once again thank you for your vote of confidence. I hope I can serve this seat well. I'm going to make myself available at the Italian restaurant across the street for the next hour or so. If anybody wants to get me up to speed, let's have a little meeting. And we will adjourn this meeting in the name of Dan Bustani.
Don Bustani. I want to do him justice. He was the host of Middle East in Focus for how many years? 20, 25 years? 30 years? He was an institution at our station, and he was...
But I challenged him on the issue of religion all the time.
Yes, so, well, it was always quarrelsome, but he was a very fair host and a very, very good man.
He was also a partner of Casey Kasem's, which is where he...